This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, hey, we're live.
Yeah, we're live. There we go. Welcome to the show. Big show today. Big day today. Auction items for the draft-a-thon end tonight. I'll tell you that right now. So if you want to play in a league with me, Jamie, Dave, Heath, Dan, etc., go to tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026 and bid on those auction items. The Podcast League, the Leftovers League, the Eliminator League, the Dynasty League, all that stuff. Let's talk about how to draft from picks 10 through 12. We got 1 through 9 yesterday. We'll do 10 through 12 today. And I want to discuss some players where the ADP just doesn't make sense to me right now. How can Rashee Rice be a round 3 pick? Where's the respect for Javonte Williams, what he did last year, and the lack of competition in Dallas? And Davante Adams, I mean, what else is this guy? Jamie, let me give you a list of wide receivers who got injured last year. Because, he's 33. He's obviously going to get hurt. Based on ADP, last year's ADP, here are some wide receivers who missed 3 games or more in 2025. Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., and he played hurt, Drake London, Tyreek Hill, Terry McLaurin, Mike Evans, Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr., Xavier Worthy. We've got 4 guys on that list. That's 10 of the top 23 wide receivers last year, by the way. You can keep going down the list. But those were 10 of the top 23 wide receivers drafted last year. 4 of them, at least 4, Nabers, BTJ, Marvin Harrison Jr., Xavier Worthy. Yeah, those 4. They were year 2 guys. And I'm just saying, if you're going to play the injury card against Davante Adams, understand young guys get hurt all the time. Tyler Warren got hurt yesterday. Sick of the injuries, by the way.
Are people playing the injury card with Davante Adams?
I think they're playing the age card, and it's like, oh, he's old. I don't know if they're playing. I think that people think old guys get hurt.
Well,
if you're playing that card.
I haven't really heard that one, but I certainly can see the old card being played. I don't know if the injury card being played. I think if there's an injury card being attached to an older player, it's probably Mike Evans. Who's been injured each of the last 2 years. I think for me, in the case of Adams, it's the lack of receptions and yards, so there was a big decline there, and asking him to score 14 touchdowns again is nearly impossible. Now, can he be north of 8? I think that's realistic, which is why he's still around 5 pick for me, but he's not a top 24 receiver, mostly because the position I feel like is very crowded. And so you hear me say this a lot. Once you get to like wide receiver 18, 19, 20, like through 30-ish, it's still a number 2 receiver, so I don't want to reach for Davante Adams, but I still think that Adams is a quality player worth taking in the top half of the draft.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the funny thing is I totally understand all of the ADP. The point of this, of talking about Rashee Rice, Javonte Williams, and Davante Adams, is that they are going a lot lower than where they finished last year. Davante Adams was wide receiver 9 per game last year. He's being drafted basically 23rd. Javonte Williams, RB15 on NFC right now, 18 on CBS, 16 on Fantasy Pros. He was RB12 last year, and that was playing the last 3 games basically on limited snaps.
He's
and
the one Rice, that's weird here, because there's reasons to be concerned about the other two.
I don't know what the reason to be concerned about Rashee Rice is. It's got to be the knee. If it's not the knee, I don't know what it is.
Well, I think it's a few things, So the minor thing for me, and this is not usually something that would be minor, is the change in offense. Because Eric Bieniemy's offense, I don't think necessarily, or what Eric Bieniemy brings to the offense, I don't think necessarily caters to what Rashee Rice does best, which is a little bit more downfield opportunities and downfield throws. And so maybe some things have changed with Tyquan Thornton getting hurt yesterday and Cyrus Allen's performance, but I think that Rice is going to have to do a little bit of a perform in a little bit of a different way, because obviously it's still Andy Reid's system and it's Patrick Mahomes. But I do think that the knee has to be taken into account. The concern about any off-field problems have to be taken into account. And then when you've seen him in anything sort of shown, clips, whatever, there's clearly some positives, but it's been like a little sluggish, you know, looking like maybe, you know, you want to just tie that to the, I don't know if that's where you're going, but like it hasn't looked great. And so when you start to compare him to some of these other guys, so like, I'll just give you an example. We're going to talk about Jaden Higgins. I move Nico Collins ahead of Rashee Rice because I think there's so much upside for Nico Collins now. Now, Rice has so much upside also, but I think when you start to weigh the downside for those two guys, I give a slight edge to Nico at this point. So the Javonte one, which why I say it's weird, is like, what has gotten worse for him?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the one I don't get. Like, you could say Rice this. You could say Adams older and, you know, lack of a couple of, you know, performance metrics. For Javonte, it's like, this team feels like it could be really, really good. And he's still the lead running back with not a lot of competition.
Yeah. All right. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's do some news and notes, and then we'll talk about it. I don't want to leave.
By the way, you owe me big time for something I did for yesterday.
Okay. I look forward to hearing about this.
I shouldn't say owe me big time. You owe me. It was a small thing, but it was, you owe me.
Okay. Okay, good. I love owing people. My favorite thing. But let's get into the news and notes brought to you by Stitch Fix. If you're like me and clothes shopping isn't your thing, Stitch Fix has you covered, and get $20 off your first order at stitchfix.com/football. All right, Jaden Higgins out for the season with a torn ACL. That is a tough blow. Jalen Knowles been dealing with hamstring and finger injuries, but he'll be back. And Tank Dell still working his way back from the tearing everything that ends in L in his knee 2 years ago. This stinks for Higgins, but what impact does it have? You already mentioned moving Nico over Rashee Rice. What else?
Dalton Schultz. I mean, you know, he was great last year. And the thing about Schultz is he had over 100 targets last season. He basically averaged about 85 targets in the previous 2 or 3 years in Houston. So bump up for him in the rankings and bump up for him in production potential. You know, he was a solid, you know, waiver wire addition for fantasy managers last year. So he went from about like tight end 18, 19 for me to tight end 15. And you could certainly make a case that he could be better than the two guys I have in front of him. I don't think I'll put him ahead of Goddard or Kelsey or Kittle unless Kittle's going to miss significant time. But when you compare him to Andrews and Kincaid, who are tight ends 13 and 14, Schultz coming off a better season. Now target opportunity is there. And so he's firmly entrenched, if he wasn't already, but he's firmly entrenched in the greater late conversation as one of the later guys. So both he and Juwan Johnson, two veterans who finished last year on a high note, get bounce back potential because of injuries.
Okay. It's important to note that we only had 68 targets from Jaden Higgins last year. And it's not like Dalton Schultz was great. He was, you know, wide receiver 14 per or tight end 14 per game. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, I understand like it's not as bad for Schultz because Higgins was expected to take a jump, but Higgins did very little last year, 68 targets in a full season. And we had 106 targets for Dalton Schultz.
I think he gets back to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Only 3 touchdowns. I mean, you could tell me the guy's going to get 106 targets. I think I like his chances to finish better than tight end 14, maybe not much better, but better. All right, that's the Jaden Higgins news. Carnell Tate mispracticed, but it seems minor. Sam Laporta mispracticed. I don't think that's anything major, but Tyler Warren left with a groin injury. ESPN reported that initial evaluation, it's not serious for Tyler Warren. Any thoughts on this?
I bumped him down a couple of spots, mostly because of the combination of this and Keenan Allen signing. So not spots in the tight end rankings, just in the top 200. So he was a player with the Alec Pierce injury that I was considering middle of round 4. So Colston Loveman was a late round 3 pick for me. Tyler Warren, middle of round 4. Now I put Tyler Warren back in round 5.
Okay.
But he's definitely closer to, so my last tiers update, I had Loveland and Warren in the same tier. Warren is now closer to Laporta, Kraft, Pitts for me.
Because of this injury.
And the Keenan Allen.
Okay. By the way, we got to talk about Daniel Jones. We're also going to talk about guys who are getting some buzz. Daniel Jones apparently having a very good preseason. I feel like that could be one of those things where he goes out week one, has a nice game, has like a good game. We're like, oh, you know, he's probably just going to be good again. But we'll see. It's such a deep position. There's value everywhere. DK Metcalf's been out for a little while, but he says he'll be ready for week one. Michael Pittman, same thing. Jacksonville guard Patrick McCary. He's going to miss time. He's having back surgery. He hasn't been practicing. I think they've been prepared for this. He hasn't been practicing all camp. He was a starter last year, though, And the Jaguars might not have a great offensive line, might have a bad offensive line, depending on who you ask. Washington running back Rashad White missed practice. Tampa Bay defensive tackle Vita Vea.
Yeah, sorry, by the way.
Which one?
Rashad White?
No.
So there was a, according to a guy that I trust, Ben Standick, who covers the Commanders, there was a report somebody sent out that he got hurt doing the ice bucket challenge. So if you watch the video of him doing the ice bucket challenge, he kind of jumps up after he gets the ice water dumped on him. And it looks like he slips.
Oh, no.
Like he runs like toward the camera and like falls off and slips. And somebody was insinuating that that's why he got hurt. But most of the people who cover the team, and I trust Ben, say no.
Okay. And Vita Vea signed an extension, and the Seahawks want some cornerback depth. They're going to sign Trayvon Diggs, and they still plan to sign Terry and Arnold. Any other news items? Did I miss anything?
No, you got the big one.
Okay. And we want to thank Stitch Fix for sponsoring today's news and notes. Stitch Fix takes the hassle out of clothes shopping. Just take a quick style quiz, share your size, share your vibe, and your budget, and you'll be matched with a real human stylist who will send you a first fix with clothes that fit and make sense for your life. Stop shopping and get styled today at stitchfix.com/football to get $20 off your first order. That is stitchfix.com/football. All right, what do we got today? We got this stupid tennis match. I just want to get this over with. But I think the plan is to mic us up for the entire match, which I was unaware of.
Oh, that's going to be amazing.
And I was like, do you know the things I say during a tennis match?
You should listen. This is your moment to let everything go. You've been clogging our feed, clogging our shows, clogging everything with this tennis stuff. And now you just get to be free. Let it all out. Be loose. Like,
just flush it all out, you know?
Flush it all out.
I said with the match is starting at 4:30. There is some rain in the forecast, so I think we're going to try to start closer to 4. It'll be at youtube.com/fantasyfootball today. Dave and Jamie will be commentating. And 4-ish Eastern. I don't know exactly when we'll start, but if you are into it, be ready at 4 o'clock. Now, more importantly, if you want to co-manage a league with us, there are now 4 opportunities to do that in the FFT Open. I am going to be in the Rich Rebar division. Dan is in the John Daigle division. Heath is in the Joey Wright division. Dave is in the Gary Davenport division. And the way I understand it, if you sign up for one of those divisions, that's Rich Rebar, John Daigle, Joey Wright, Gary Davenport. If you sign up for one of those divisions, we're going to choose a team at random to co-manage with one of us. Me, Dan, Heath, and Dave. So a little incentive. We're trying to sell. We got about 40 spots left. It'll be so cool if we can sell out every FFT open spot. The drafts are supposed to start on Monday. By the way, if you haven't accepted your invite, you have got to do it. At some point, we might have to remove you. So please, if you haven't accepted your invite, do it. If you're like, I never got my invite, email me. Email fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Let me know. That's the letter I. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. But we got to get everybody in the league. We have some people who haven't joined yet. Please join so I can randomize the draft order and get everything set up for you. Auction items are closing tonight, as I mentioned. And Dave is going to Las Vegas. I don't remember. I wanted to promote it for him. I don't know exactly what it is or what to say. And he's at the Giants-Dolphins joint practice today. So reach out to Dave on Twitter, or you can email him. What's his email address that he always gives out? Like drichard@cbs.com or something? Yep. Yeah, you can email him, drichard@cbs.com. If you're going to be in Las Vegas this week, he'll be there doing cool fantasy football stuff. All right, Jamie, picks 10 through 12. I'm going to share my screen here. How to draft from this spot. So this was a half PPR 3 receiver league that we did. We talked about it all yesterday with picks 1 through 9. But wide receivers start to come into play at the end here. In fact, 2 of the 3 picks at 10, 11, 12 are Lamb, Jefferson, they're wide receivers. And then we had James Cook, who fell a little bit to pick 12. Derrick Henry went ahead of him at pick 10. It's a half PPR, pick 9 rather, half PPR league. But is this the right time for Lamb and Jefferson or any other wide receivers? Because Drake London went 13th. He obviously could have been a first round pick.
I mentioned this so you can read a little bit more in depth if you want some other perspective on it from a PPR draft. But I think the draft, just to kind of tie in yesterday's show, is sort of very segmented. Now, we have seen a little change in average draft position where Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor have kind of crept into this range ahead of two receivers. I think it's ahead of JSN and ahead of St. Brown in PPR. Now, that might change when we get a lot of drafts this weekend. McCaffrey might slip a little bit if he's still not practicing, so just keep an eye on the potential changes. But I do think we're going to see in the first 10 picks, first nine picks, four running backs and at least four running backs and four receivers. So probably five running backs and four receivers would be my guess.
Yeah.
I think what we'll end up seeing is when you get to the back end of round one, so Henry went here in half PPR. Most likely you'll see Chase Brown in round one based on ADP. That's what we're seeing. James Cook probably a little bit higher. And then one of potentially Jenty or Achan will go in round one also. So then you start to see the receivers come into play. I really think the only two that should go are Lamb and Jefferson, because I think A.J. Brown is having a phenomenal camp, had another great day of practice, joint practice yesterday against the Eagles. No surprise there. I'm sure he wanted to put on a show. London should still be fine. I know there's questions about his quarterback, understandably so. Now you have Nico Collins, Chris Olave benefiting from injuries. You have George Pickens coming off a strong season. We'll talk about Rashi Rice, where he belongs. Malik Nabers, Devontae Smith. You can make cases for those guys to be maybe in round two, back into round two. It's a very deep position. The running back depth dries out quickly. So I am not fully advocating for running back, but I'm very much in the camp of you can go running back at the back end of round one. So
yeah,
Lamb and Jefferson would be the only ones that you should take. And if you do that, again, from a strategy standpoint, think about the running backs that will be available at the end of round three. So now we have Travis Achane. Now we have DeAndre Swift. You still have that trio of guys that could fall. Kyren Williams, Josh Jacobs, Jeremiah Love. I think they're all going to be in that range back into round three. Breece Hall is going to be there early part of round four, back into round three.
Javonte Williams. It's not bad. It's really not bad at all. I mean, there's some good running backs there.
So if you don't want to go running back, and you want to lock up maybe two wide receivers, so you want to go maybe Lamb and Jefferson. You want to go Jefferson and London, Lamb and A.J. Brown. You're still going to potentially get two good running backs also. So I think format matters, but also looking at the running backs and how comfortable you feel with, let's say, Ken Walker, Omarion Hampton, those type of guys.
All right, we're going to take a break here. I'm going to tell you why I think this is a great spot in the draft in a 12-team league to be picking 10 through 12. Like, I'd rather have an early pick, but I think there's a lot of really great opportunities here and a lot of flexibility here as well from picks 10 through 12. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
My companion for this summer season has been ZBiotics. Let me tell you why. Just headed out to a concert at Pier 17. Houndmouth, what a show. I got home at 3 a.m. and I realized 8 a.m. tea time. What am I going to do? I got a big match. No worries at all. I took ZBiotics the night before, had a few drinks, woke up the next day like nothing happened, got to that course at 7 a.m., warmed up, and won my match. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to break down acetaldehyde, a byproduct of drinking alcohol. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme that is designed to break down this byproduct. Make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and enjoy your next day activities. ZBiotics has sold more than 14 million bottles and earned the trust of thousands, including us. Try for yourself today, and if you are unsatisfied, they will refund your entire order, no questions asked. Head to ZBiotics.com/FFT. Code FFT for 15% off your first order.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you talk about rounds three and four and that turn, like you said, we just named all those running backs that could be available, whether it's Love, Jacobs, Hall, Kyren, Etienne, HN, if he's there, or he'll be there. If you want to bump DeAndre Swift up, now I'd be a little hesitant because it's not like Kamara and Menangai are out for the season or anything, or they could be back very early in the season, but fine, those guys belong there. Javonte Williams. And then you've got, you know, Abuka. Well,
just stop there because I think it's important to put those guys in the mix. So if you do go wide receiver, right? Because I think that's the only way I think you're taking both, two of those guys in that group.
Yeah, no, I wasn't saying take two of them. I was just saying that they're all
there. No, but I'm saying it does make some sense if you go wide receiver to come back and take those two running backs, unless you just love, you know, let's say Zay Flowers falls like you did here, or Garrett Wilson, whoever the case may be. I think you got to put it into context of when you start to look at that group, right? Is that group safer than Judkins, Scadaboo, David Montgomery, Buck Irvin? Because one of those guys may slip to the next round. And so if you take if you take a receiver again or a tight end, because Loveland's going to be in play, and in some drafts, not some drafts, every draft, quarterback's going to be in play, you know, one of the top five. So when you're thinking about what your strategy might be, do you love the upside of Travis Etienne? Do you love the upside of DeAndre Swift? Because to your point, yes, those other guys are injured. They're not out for the season, but they might miss a good portion of the season, at least the early portion of the season, where the starter and the better player, in my opinion, can get off to an amazing start.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, I feel that. So I think my point is, if you have picks 10 through 12, I think it really sets you up to do whatever the hell you want. Yes. Personally, I wouldn't take two receivers because I really want to get one of the top 12 running backs. And I'm totally like pumped about the group of Abuka and Flowers, hoping that Devontae Smith falls there or something like that. But if not, you still have McConkey and Garrett Wilson and McMillan or whatever, whoever you like in that range. So I'm fine with the wide receivers there, but I think you can do whatever you want. I think if you have picks 10 through 12, realistically, you're probably not getting Bowers or McBride. If one of them falls to you in round three, awesome. We don't think you should take them in the first two rounds. So you have to decide if you want Colson Loveland. At this point, would you say Tyler Warren at around the 5-6 turn would be a great pick?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one you could look at. But as we said on yesterday's show, there's tight end value everywhere. There's quarterback value everywhere. Personally, Jamie, I think I'd be looking at quarterback late in round five if any of the top five guys are available. Specifically, I'm looking at Drake May, Joe Burrow, and Jaden Daniels. And in this draft, they didn't quite make it there, except they went at the 8th, 9th, and 10th picks of this round. So clearly, these guys are coming into play as we get... Oh, no, that they didn't. I'm sorry, that was round 6.
They were all there.
They were all there. Okay, so they went early in round 6 and not late in round 5. So yeah, I mean, that's what's going to happen typically with May, Daniels, and Burrow. Late in round 5, if one of those guys are there, it's certainly in play. I would do it. I would take that risk because I would rather have them in like a Bajal Tootin, you know, who's clearly in a timeshare, or a Jadarian Price. But you know, your thoughts on that?
So I guess, you know, we're looking at Jacqueline's draft at pick 12. You know, one of our CBS Sports HQ hosts, and she's a very qualified fantasy player. She plays in a lot of leagues. I think if you feel comfortable with like Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence, that next tier of quarterbacks, you know, Justin Herbert, wherever you want to put the cutoff at, and you want to build out your running back depth. So you see the way that she built her team, you know, again, look at the positions, not the players, if you're concerned about maybe Jameson Williams in round 4. So it's James Cook, Drake London, Garrett Wilson. Let's just say instead of Jameson Williams, that could have been Ladd McConkey.
Yeah.
So that's Ladd McConkey, right? And then, okay, now I'm a little concerned about my running back depth. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Bashal Tootin and Jalen Warren. Again, forget about the names. It could have been David Montgomery and Jadarian Price, if you want to just put different names in there. Coming back and getting Dak Prescott after passing on those quarterbacks to build out your running back depth is still perfectly acceptable. So I agree on one hand, like, okay, yes, the positives of what Drake May, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels give you certainly outweighs what Bashal Tootin does if both hit, if both positions hit at their best, right? Bashal Tootin's going to have to be a top 10 running back to outscore the quarterbacks, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know where you cut it off, but my point is like, then you got to feel comfortable enough like, okay, I'm now building out my depth, but I'm also pretty confident that Dak Prescott or that next tier of quarterbacks is going to bump up against what maybe Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow does in the tier above them.
Yeah, I think when you're picking late in the first round and you know, the first four rounds are I think there's a decent chance it's going to be two running backs, two receivers, maybe you go three receivers with one running back. You could go any combination, whatever. Like, I think you're going to like your first four picks. Could get a little tricky once we start to get close to pick 60, because as we talked about on yesterday's show, I think Jamie and I see it the same way. Heath, maybe, I think he also sees it pretty similarly.
Heath is just lumping two guys that we like a little bit better into a bigger group of David Montgomery and Bucky Irving.
You may not love your running back options at this point, unless, you know, so, like in this case, David Montgomery did fall, and Jacqueline, who had the 5-6 turn picks, she took Tootin and Warren over David Montgomery, which we wouldn't have done, but that's fine. And what I'm saying is, this is your chance here, picking from these spots. This is your chance to say, if you want to do it, all right, I don't love the running backs and wide receivers. Maybe you do, but if you don't, this is my chance to be great at quarterback or to take Tyler Warren and try to be great at tight end. So that's where you can maybe have your team stand out if one of those quarterbacks happens to fall to you late in round five, instead of, you know, just getting that running back because you need to fill a position. So that's a decision you're going to have to make.
I think, and, just kind of circling back to something you said, where you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can map out your strategy pretty quickly after round two. You know, so you can go running back, and then say, okay, I'm probably going to go receivers here unless somebody just amazing falls to the 3-4 turn. You know, so you love Javonte Williams, he's there. You love maybe Jeremiah Love, you know, and by the time you're drafting, the reports are positive. Kyren Williams, as you see, is in this range, you know. So you could just say, okay, F it, I'm going to take three running backs here, and that's just the thing I'm committed to. You could go wide receiver, and then you get back to it. And again, there's Zay Flowers sitting there. You love him. You said Devontae Smith. We've seen him in some cases fall to, you know, the 10th pick in the third round. You love Tetteryl McMillan. You love Ladd McConkey, whatever case may be. And then you go three receivers.
Yeah.
You may take, like, I'll reference the draft that we did Tuesday night where I went running back. Man, my receivers are going to be pretty bad. But you know what? I'm taking Cole Slovin. I don't care what my receivers look like. That gives me such a positional advantage if he hits to the level I expect him to. And then I just paired him with Garrett Wilson, and I still got Mike Evans and Parker Washington. So I think what you're saying is right, but I also think you got to kind of commit some way, shape, or form, barring the free fall of somebody unexpected. But you kind of, I think, okay, I'm either going to go maybe hero RB because now the receivers are too good. I'm going to go, you know, running back because I love these two guys. Like, imagine you started, in this case, you could have started Chase Brown, Ashton Jeanty, which are my 4 and 5 running backs.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. I'll sign up for that.
Right. I do think the tough decision, I think, picking from this spot is like how to rank Lamb and Jefferson and London and AJ Brown amongst these running backs. I struggle with that quite a bit. Personally, I'm not taking a lot of Jefferson here. I don't know how you feel. Like, how do you feel about, I don't think I'm taking AJ, as much as I love AJ Brown, I don't think I'm taking him with a top 15 pick. That's like the earliest I might consider him. Lamb and London would be the guys that I'd go with. Well, how about you?
I keep leaning into the running backs, you know, and it depends on who's available and just how much, you know, you like these guys. So again, the draft we did Tuesday, I took Jeanty and Ken Walker. And I'll be honest, it felt a little skittish to take Walker over Lamb and Jefferson. Both were still on the board. And I don't have a rank that way, but I was trying a different strategy just to see how it played out. Walker was the next available running back. So I believe I took Walker, and I would do this. I have him over Achane. I have him over Hampton. But, you know, you are going against the grain and passing up on what could be great wide receivers. Now, this was a 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 2 flex draft. So doesn't necessarily pigeonhole you to have to take 3 wide receivers.
Wait, which the one we're talking about or a different
the one you're referencing? The one I'm referencing where I picked 12.
Okay, not the one we're showing.
In this draft, it's a 3-receiver league. So I think more people would be inclined to say, okay, I want to come away with this with a Lamb, a Jefferson, a London, an AJ Brown, you know, whoever the case may be. And knowing that, okay, I have one of the top 5 or 6 wide receivers, and I have very good running back also. And I'm pretty comfortable with Javonte Williams, Kyren Williams, Josh Jacobs, those running backs that should be available in round 3. So you're still getting top tier running back, still very good number 2 running back, but also top tier wide receiver, and then still probably good number 2 wide receiver. So format matters, but it's never a bad thing to come away with, okay, I got 2 dominant running backs and then 2 really good wide receivers, or 1 dominant running back, 1 dominant wide receiver, 1 good running back, 1 good wide receiver.
Yeah, it's a personal preference thing. Yes.
By the way, there was this report from Ian Rappaport. Warren expected to miss 1 week with a minor groin injury.
Okay, good. So I'll wrap this conversation up, because those of you who don't have a pick late in the draft are like, shut up already. But many of you probably don't even know where you're picking yet. Team 10 went CeeDee Lamb, Ashton Jeanty, Kyren Williams, Tetteryl McMillan, Travion Henderson, Joe Burrow with its first 6 picks. Lamb, Jeanty, Kyren, Tetteryl McMillan, Travion, Joe Burrow. Team 11 was Dan. He went Jefferson, Chase Brown, Zay Flowers, Ladd McConkey, Tyler Warren, David Montgomery. I actually really like that team.
Yeah, I love it.
But I think Montgomery in round 6 was a little bit of a gift. If he wasn't there, that's where I would have gone with like Burrow or May or Daniels.
Right. Or if you like Jadarian Price, that was the next running back on the board.
Yeah. But Jefferson, Chase Brown, Zay Flowers, Ladd McConkey, that's a really good start. Tyler Warren and David Montgomery. And then if you're curious, he has Caleb Williams in round 8. And then Jacklin in pick 12 went James Cook, Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams. But again, replace Jameson Williams with maybe Ladd McConkey, McMillan, because we think that's a little too early for JMO. And then Bajal Tootin, Jalen Warren. And then Dak Prescott in round 7 with the last pick of round 7 and Dallas Goedert in round 8. Again, this is where, like, with Goddard and with JMO, probably you might want to replace them with different players. That could have been Kittle instead of Goddard. Could have been
Jalen Warren too, I would say.
Yeah, and Jalen Warren. That could have been Montgomery. So, but the build of running back, 3 receivers, 2 running backs, quarterback, tight end, it's perfectly doable. My question is, like, if you don't have Montgomery available to you, if you don't have Bucky Irving available to you at that 5-6 turn, what do you do? Yeah, I mean, you could still take Tootin there, still take Jadarian Price there or something like that. I probably would have done one of those running backs and an elite quarterback instead of like 2 of those running backs. That's picking 10 through 12. Let's get just recent buzz. We can do this probably pretty quickly here. Just kind of, I don't know, a lot of joint practices this week, Jamie, which is
before
good.
You go there, I just want to tease tomorrow's show because we're going to talk more drafts. We're going to do a super flex mock draft live on the air for people that have been asking about that.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Fired up about that. So we'll give you some super flex strategy. We definitely owe you auction strategy. I would say maybe we'll do it on the mailbag or maybe we'll have a separate show just for auction strategy, but it's going to happen. It's kind of a weird year because we got an extra week before the season starts. So I don't feel like that many people have drafted yet. And it's August 20th. Like, usually at this point, a lot of people have drafted. So we have more time to do draft prep. All right. So just in terms of, this is a great week with all these joint practices. And I think you can find out a lot more about these teams when we get these reports of joint practices rather than preseason games. And I think a lot of the starters are going to sit this week in preseason because they played during the joint practices, but we'll see. But some players getting good buzz. I think Parker Washington missed the practice and Brian Thomas Jr. was great. It's pretty clear. It seems like I've seen so much buzz on everyone in Jacksonville, but Parker Washington has been number one and Brian Thomas Jr. is apparently having a very good camp as well.
So just to back that up, Pete Prisco was just in Jacksonville for the joint practices with the Panthers. And everything that you've heard is true. Parker Washington is their guy. Brian Thomas is having a potential bounce back season, has the potential for a bounce back season. Looks great. And when he was there, Bajal Tootin looked great.
Bajal Tootin had a great practice the other day. Chris Rodriguez the day before that was really good. That is going to be a split. We're hoping that Tootin kind of comes out of that. It's very possible that Rodriguez is just going to be great value. I'll try to check his ADP in a moment. AJ Brown, he's been kicking ass lately. Devontae Smith, there was just someone writing about how he's really emerged. He's their guy. They believe in him, obviously. Devontae Smith, good. Now that he's back, looking good. One of the Titans writers was saying, like, Wandale Robinson. Yes, I do. Hope so very much. One of the beat writers for the Titans was just saying, I don't know if it was a beat guy or someone who was just at practice, Wandale Robinson is going to catch a lot of balls this year.
Yeah.
That's one I've come around on. He was kind of, it's not going to be a ton of yards, I don't think. It's probably not going to be a lot of touchdowns, but enough catches.
Just go back to what he did 2 years ago. He had the same amount of targets. He had 140 targets in both seasons. And 2 years ago, he was not as productive, but he was just involved. And so PPR, he's just a cheat code. So he goes off for the touchdowns that he had last year. Then you're talking about a guy that could be a league winner based on where you drafted him. But just understand, like, he can just be a set it and forget it number 3 receiver in PPR where you're getting 12 points on a week-to-week basis and you're just fine with it.
But 2 years ago, Wandale Robinson had an absolutely terrible year. He had 699 yards on 140 targets. I'd like to think he and everyone else in the NFL is better than that. It's just one of these weird random, how could your yards per catch and per target be so bad? He was wide receiver 47 per game in PPR with 140 targets. I don't really think that's his floor. I think it's probably more like 36 or something if he's getting, let's say gets 120 targets. Marvin Harrison Jr. apparently doing some good things. Matthew Golden, Jamie. Are you starting to have any more interest in Matthew Golden?
I've had interest in him since the moves this offseason. You know, again, they showed us bingo. They showed us the blueprint of what they're looking for here, and it's Matthew Golden on the field a lot. It's Christian Watson on the field a lot, and it's Jaden Reed on the field a lot. You know, so Reed is probably going to play the least amount when they're in 12 personnel, but I don't think they want to take Jaden Reed off the field very much. And if Tucker Kraft's going to be worked in slowly in the beginning part of the season, there's opportunities for all three of these guys. Now you have a running back situation that's a little in flux, especially if Josh Jacobs does get suspended. So I think Matthew Golden is one of the biggest steals based on his upside and where you're getting him. So absolutely, you should be interested in him. He's still my third favorite Packers receiver, but it's very close between him and Reed.
He's still your what?
Third favorite.
Okay. Yeah, their ADPs are really close. How about, I mean, Matthew Golden versus Casey Concepcion? Who do you like better?
I think there's probably more upside for Concepcion, but Golden feels safer because of his quarterback.
Yeah. Okay. Cyrus Allen having a good camp. I don't know if this is a guy, this is Chiefs rookie wide receiver, fifth round pick. I don't know if it's a guy that gets that we draft or just a guy that makes things a little muddy for the others. We could talk about that when we look at Rashee Rice. Jalen Waddle had a great practice the other day. That's good to see because he missed a lot of time.
Caught a 60-yard touchdown on Patrick Surtain and made a lot of headlines.
Let's go. Jamie, you put Amari and Hampton on this getting good buzz list. What are you seeing on Hampton?
So it was the same practice where Biotich got injured, but the joint practice with the 49ers, he was just apparently running people over. You know, so clearly this is going to be a guy that could be awesome if everything around him is working. Much better offense coordinator. Mike McDaniel's been very good with two different versions of running backs. You've heard me say this a lot. He got an 18 touchdown season out of Raheem Mostert. He's been fantastic for Devon Achane. And so Hampton, first round talent, I think has an opportunity here to, you know, compete to be a top five running back. He's in the top 10 for me. And then in that same joint practice, I'll just, the next guy on the list, Kalen Black, return from practice also looked really good. So it seems like he could be, especially with Jordan James banged up, separating himself as the number two running back early in the season if something were to happen to McCaffrey.
Funny comment in the chat from Zed. Wandale Robinson is this year's Wandale Robinson. I like
yeah.
that. Daniel Jones, I mean, apparently having a good camp with all these injuries around him too, and with him recovering from the torn Achilles. Obviously, you want to see it for yourself before you believe it, just in terms of what's his mobility going to be. But I always mention he averaged 3.7 carries per game last year. He had averaged at least 6.7 in each of the previous three seasons. So he would basically career low, I think, in rush attempts. So he was that good last year without running. It wasn't like Mahomes, where he had this basically a career rushing year for Mahomes and he's coming out of a torn ACL. Like I said earlier, Daniel Jones could come out, look great again, and we'll be like, oh, well, we were too low on Daniel Jones. You have that fear that we're too low on Daniel Jones?
I don't have that fear because the position is so loaded. So it's like when I look at my quarterback rankings, there are so many number two quarterbacks that I just say, oh, this guy should be a top 12 guy. That guy should be a top 12 guy. Like, it's hard to put Kyler Murray in the top 12 knowing what his history has been and now the situation that he's in. It's hard to put Tyler Shuck in the top 12. Be a little easier if Jordan Tyson were healthy, but like finish the season really strong and Kellen Moore's history is great. It's hard to put Jared Goff in the top 12. I don't have Patrick Mahomes in the top 15. Yeah. Bo Nix has been a top 12 quarterback essentially the first 2 years of his career. He got Jalen Waddle. Like, there's just so many great players at that position that it's like, okay, where do you start to tier it and where do you start to see the drop off? You know, who are the 20 point guys? You know, you've heard us say there's about 20 quarterbacks. I think that could be north of 20 points per game. Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield. Like, this is just great, a great, great position. So, yes, Daniel Jones could get off to a great start. I'm probably not going to drop a quarterback that I drafted, barring an injury, to pick up Daniel Jones. So I'm going to stick with probably the guys that I drafted because I have conviction of those guys a little bit stronger.
Yeah, I just think at very least, Daniel Jones belongs in that discussion of players you could just wait on and maybe make your number two quarterback that could be good, like a Baker Mayfield and a Malik Willis and all this stuff. So he makes the position even deeper if he's really looking good. Kalon Black, we mentioned, and rookie wide receiver Bryce Lance for the Saints has taken advantage of the absence of Jordan Tyson, and Devon Vele's hurt right now too. So Bryce Lance, I would have a hard time seeing him really making an impact, but you never know. It's a name to know. He's a talented player.
Adam, you're glitching pretty badly on your camera.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
I will leave and come back. But Jamie, I'll throw it to you. Bad. You know what we'll do? I'll throw it to you. You could talk about this and we'll take a break and then I'll come back. Tua Tagovailoa, I guess, didn't have a very good practice the other day and he was really bad in the preseason. And my impression just from reading the Vikings joint practice report is that Kyler Murray wasn't all that great. I don't know how you feel about the quarterback situations for Atlanta. And obviously it's not a race or anything in Minnesota, but you do that. I'll be right back, actually.
Yeah, I think with – we're taking a break?
No. You go ahead, and I'll just come right back. But, yeah.
Okay. So I'll start with Atlanta. I think, you know, they're probably just waiting at this point for Michael Penix to get healthy. It sounds like Tua is going to still start the season, but clearly he's going to have to play well early in the year to keep that job. I would not run away from Drake London or Kyle Pitts yet, certainly not from Bijan Robinson yet. But when you're debating Bijan versus Gibbs, it's easier to lean toward Gibbs. When you're debating London versus AJ Brown, for me, I'm going to go Brown. And in the case of Pitts, you know, again, if you like Tucker Kraft better than him, or, you know, if you're in the Laporta discussion, if he's still there, I would take Laporta and Kraft over Pitts just with the quarterback questions, although Tua still might be very good for the pass catchers there. Specifically Kyle Pitts and Kevin Stefanski's system. When we get to the Vikings, I mean, there's going to be growing pains. He's no pun intended. There's, you know, things that Kyler Murray still has to do and do better. There's things that I think he's learning in Kevin O'Connell's offense. There's going to be some sluggish moments and probably he's going to look flawed, but that's really who he is. I think you're hoping for him to be, as a fantasy asset, still run, you know, in his career, he averages 36 yards per game, which is great. And then hopefully just, you know, elevate the receivers around him. So if you're debating Jefferson versus C.D. Lamb, if you're debating Jefferson versus A.J. Brown or the other receivers, Drake London behind him, then you can pivot to somebody else. But I still think this offense is going to be much better. And Jefferson's numbers, when it has not been J.J. McCarthy, have been very good.
And we're going to take a commercial break and we'll talk about those ADPs that may not make much sense when we come back on Fantasy Football Today. Well, we did a little preview of this earlier, but Rashee Rice, I looked at NFC ADP over the last 5 days, 5 to 6 days, more recent average draft position, high stakes leagues. It's half PPR, I believe. Rashee Rice is going 27th overall as wide receiver 13. And just based on what he has done in his last 17 healthy games, because he broke out the last six games of the 2023 season, his rookie year. You're talking over 18 PPR fantasy points per game. You're talking wide receiver 5 production. So for him to be at wide receiver 13, Jamie, I mean, I know we've already discussed this, but how much of that do you think is the knee and how much do you think is the other stuff?
I think it's a combination. I don't think you can really separate this with him because, you know, being suspended and spending the offseason in jail, you know, and then the knee injury and then having a second, you know, cleanup procedure and then looking a little bit slow, I would still buy the dip. I would still take the discount on him. If I pick in the early part of round one and he's there in the back end of round two or the early part of round three, I mean, if you go back to this is a draft that with other analysts, if you recall our flex draft, which was 2 weeks ago at this point, my flex draft, you were there and I said, you were like, oh, what are you going to do? I took Puka Nacua at fourth overall. Round two, I got Drake London. I said, there's a chance I may get Rashee Rice here in round three because some people are concerned. And he went in the early part of round three or the last pick of round two. I still think that this is the guy for Patrick Mahomes. I still think this is the leading target getter, despite Travis Kelce also having a strong camp and, you know, still being such a focal point. But if he stays healthy, mm-hmm. like there's top five potential here from a production standpoint. So when you start to compare him to the guys around him, so the guys in front of him, you know, I think George Pickens is going ahead of him. I would take Rice. Nico Collins, again, you could debate that. AJ Brown, you could debate that. I think Drake London, you could debate that. You know, so that's kind of where it, I think, stops because I don't think anybody's taking him ahead of CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson. I certainly would not. And then you look at the guys behind him, Chris Olave, Malik Nabers. I think Dave has Malik Nabers over Rashee Rice. They're flaws with those guys. And I think you can make a case there's more flaws for those guys than there is for Rice from a production standpoint and a play standpoint. You know, if you're going to knock Rice for his knee injury, how do you not knock Malik Nabers? And Olave, you know, Jordan Tyson, we don't know how long he'll be out. The estimation is 2 months. that could go longer based on his track record. So I think Rice is in a good enough spot that round two feels safe for him. And I think the middle to the end of round two is where he should go.
Okay. Yeah. So that means there's good value there with Rashee Rice. One thing I've loved about him, you know, he's basically could segment his production into three different segments. The last six games of his rookie season, the first three games of his second season, then he had the knee injury in week four, and his entire 2025 season, which was eight games. And he's had in those three segments, in each of them, he's had a 28% target share or better. And that is just massive. And what I really like is if you look at last year, in eight games, he had 18 red zone targets, 14 green zone targets, and five end zone targets in eight games. So, I mean, he is Mahomes' guy, not just for short yard stuff, but also where it really matters. Like, I think he's going to be their touchdowns leader. I don't think that's Kelsey anymore. So, I think
you do have the improved run game.
Yeah.
However improved it is. So, again, I think you, bingo. You knock him down a few spots, or you knock off a little bit of production because of that.
And maybe, so, or they could just score more points. Like that's where
that
like
would be awesome.
They have been a middling offense between 12th and 20th in points per game the last 3 years. If they get back to being a great offense, I'm a little skeptical that they do that because I don't think they have the speed to do it, and then, you know, maybe they're like ninth in points. You know, then, you know, you could just have more touchdowns in general. All right, let's go to Javonte, because as you said, what has changed? The main split for Javonte Williams. So last year, running back 12 per game in PPR, 10 per game in non-PPR, and he's going as around 15 to 18, depending on the site you look. First, first eight games, this guy is on pace for 72 targets. 19 touchdowns. He's RB8 per game. Last eight games, he's RB25 per game. He's on pace for only 36 targets. That's half as many as he was in the first eight games. He's on pace for only eight touchdowns. That's less than half as many as he was in the first eight games. So this is a guy who had like fewer than 10 receiving yards in 10 of his last 12 games. He was the worst receiving running back in football last year. One of the worst receiving running backs in a very long time. He can only get better in terms of as a receiver than what we saw last year. But yeah, I mean, I think people are a little spooked by how bad the second half of the year was for him. But yeah, what do you think about Javonte if he's going, say, somewhere around the 3-4 turn?
He's a round three pick for me. When I look at that group of running backs, so it starts with Kyren Williams, who I just don't want to run away from because of Blake Corum, but you can make a case that Javonte's in a better spot. Jeremiah Love, I can't take ahead of Javonte Williams right now because of the injury. I don't think Travis Etienne, you said it earlier, we have to factor in that Kamara's still going to play at some point. So the competition, I think, still is a little bit of a knock in the favor of Etienne, but slightly. They're back-to-back now for me. And then Jacobs with the injury and potential suspension, he's also in this mix, but he's such a wild card because if he plays the full season, like he's going to, I don't think shatter his ADP, but you know, probably be in the top 12 conversation, maybe top 10 conversation. He's that good. So yeah, that group of guys, and you can argue, I think fairly, that DeAndre Swift is pushing to be in that group at the back end. So that group of guys, like, and Breece Hall too, that group of guys, it's like, Who do you think has the highest ceiling? And I do think that there's legitimate reason to say the Cowboys are going to be a playoff contender. The Cowboys defense is going to be better. So we're not in all of these shootouts. They're still going to be throwing the ball a lot. Like you said about the Chiefs, they're still going to score. It doesn't matter how they score, they're going to score. So Jaden Blue, Phil Maffa, Malik Davis, I don't think there's anybody that talented that's going to say, okay, they're better than Javonte. They're handcuffs for Javonte, but they're not better than Javonte.
Yeah.
So unless we get like a last minute James Conner type trade, Trey Benson type trade, somebody else that's on the, you know, bottom of someone's roster that has the chance to come in and compete, it feels like he's just in a really good spot. So I know you almost want to think of Javonte as just a guy that's fallen into a good opportunity, and maybe that's fair.
Yes.
But you saw it last year. I think there's still the opportunity for him to be not top five-ish, but top 10-ish. And to get him late round three, early round four, we showed the draft. You got him in round four. I feel like that's just amazing value.
Yeah, and middle of round four at that. And for Javonte, like I gave you the first eight, second eight week split. But if you just want to look, he had a stinger in December. And his last three games, he was very limited. Up until that point, he was ninth per game. So, you know, that includes some of the bad stretch in the second half. You know, Javonte does feel like the least talented running back in that mix. And obviously, if the Cowboys had some great running back, he'd be a first-round pick. Javonte Williams had 11 touchdowns last year, rushing touchdowns. 10 of them came from the five-yard line or closer. So you need that. You need that, but there's a pretty good chance you're going to get...
three in week one?
Did he have three in week one?
Two in week one.
He may have had three.
He definitely had two.
He had two. You need those touchdowns, but the goal line opportunities, he's going to get basically all of them. All right, the last guy was Davante Adams. And, you know, again, if you're worried about him getting hurt, then I think I made a pretty compelling case where even young guys get hurt. If you're worried about him falling off at age 33, he'll be 33, basically, I think, on Christmas Eve. This is essentially his age. No, he'll be 34 on Christmas Eve. This is his age 33 season. Yeah, the guys who are good at age 33 typically are Hall of Famers. And he's one of them, so he can do it. Jamie said he's worried about the catches and the yards. I think that's totally understandable. But the number I would come back to is he had 138. He was on pace for 138 targets last year. That is massive. He had one of the highest target per out run rates in the NFL. Just had a really bad connection and with Matthew Stafford, believe it or not, anywhere other than the end zone. And he had the highest ADOT of his career. So if they lower the ADOT a little bit and he still gets close to that many targets, we're going to see a big increase in catches and yards. We're going to see a big decrease in touchdowns for sure, but we'll, I think, still get... I mean, I'll take more than eight for him, and I gave this stat several weeks ago, but over the last 10 seasons, 86% of the wide receivers who have caught eight or more touchdowns average 13 or more PPR fantasy points per game, and that's... You know, like that's the midpoint between wide receiver 24 the last 2 years. So got a great chance to be wide receiver 24. I'm talking too much here. I think Davante Adams is very good value. And the other thing, Jamie, is that Puka Nacua might be suspended.
That's the big wild card. I was just waiting to say that. Like, and injured. I mean, he's dealing with a significant injury right now. You know, not significant, but an injury enough that you have to monitor it. So I think there's a lot to like about Davante Adams. I think, you heard me say this yesterday, maybe it was when we were at lunch, that I'm supposed to write an updated version of basically bus, and I'm just going to chop up all the bus calls that I said, which, you know, because now that ADP is settled a little bit, we have an idea where these guys are going. Yeah. Like, I can't call Davante Adams a bust as the 26th receiver in our projections and a fifth round pick. That's fine for him. That's absolutely fine for him. You know,
Luther Burden or Davante Adams?
I would still take Burden because I think there's more upside there. But if you tell me Puka's going to be, you know, missing two games because of injury and two games because of suspension and a quarter of the season, like, why would I not take Davante Adams over Luther Burden?
Yeah.
By the way, just because you mentioned it, Cole Van Lannen is coming off the pup list for the Jaguars, so he should be good to go.
I mentioned that.
You said the Jaguars offensive line.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did, because McCarrie's out. Yeah. So, all right, that's Davante Adams. Late round four, early round five?
If it's heavy, I prefer him in round five. I have him ranked around five, but he's, you know, originally when I, you know, months ago, first rankings, it was like, I don't want Davante Adams. He's like round six for me. And then as we've seen these injuries and concerns and blah, 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 it's just like, why would you not just buy into a player despite his age? You know, I'm not the biggest fan of older players.
Yeah.
He's just in such a very good spot. If they had added Mekhi Lemon, for example, which was some of the rumors NFL draft night, 16th overall, where they took Ty Simpson, would have changed things immensely. And I do think, this is one rankings adjustment. You know, it's funny just to give you a peek behind the curtain, you know, so I'll update my rankings and I'll go back and look just to make sure I published. And I'm like, I got to move Terrence Ferguson up. And then I'll do it tomorrow. So like, that's the update I'm going to make today, is like, moving Ferguson up, because I think that's the third pass catcher for the Rams. And if there's a Puka injury or absence for whatever reason, or Devontae gets hurt, I don't think it's whoever the receivers they have on their roster. It's going to be Ferguson. They're going to run just a lot of 13 personnel, and he's going to be the pass catcher of note. Like last year's Colby Parkinson, I think Ferguson's the guy this year.
Okay. Also, last thing on Devontae Adams, 81.2% catchable target rate, ranked 70th out of 78 wide receivers with 50 or more targets.
Shocking, so right? Because he's so good.
He's so good, and Stafford is so good.
Yeah.
And for some reason, their connection just wasn't what it could be. I want to see, let's spend a little time on emails. I have some emails that are about drafting from different positions. This one is from Tiago, and he says, he's from Brazil, by the way. He says,
former center for the Spurs.
Yep. Tiago Splitter. Here it is. I need help to define my strategy for my
first. One of the greatest Heat plays of all time involved Tiago Splitter.
Did it?
Yeah. He tried to dunk over LeBron, and LeBron blocked him at the rim.
Nice. I don't want to go for McCaffrey or Jonathan Taylor. I would love to get Amon-Ra St. Brown or JSN, but I'm afraid they're going to be selected fifth and sixth. I think he has the seventh pick. If that's the case, should I go McCaffrey or Taylor? Should I reach for Chase Brown? Because I think so he has 204. So that means he has the ninth pick. I think unless he's got a 10-team league. Crap. I need more context here. I think at 204, Chase Brown won't be available. Oh, I butchered
10-team league, he might. 12-team league, I doubt it. I mean, I like Chase Brown better than McCaffrey. I know I'm on an island with that one, but I would take Jonathan Taylor over
both. Okay, he has the seventh pick in a 10-team league. That's what it is. There we go.
Yeah, so I would take Taylor, not even hesitate.
Yeah, I think you could get Chase Brown at pick 14. All right. Question from Jax. I have the 10th pick. Should I take CeeDee Lamb with the 10th pick, or should I take two running backs with my first two picks?
If you're comfortable enough with the group of, I'll say Jenty, but Jenty, maybe Achan if he falls, Hampton, Ken Walker.
Chase Brown will be there.
Chase Brown could probably be there. No, I'm talking about round two. If you're comfortable with those guys in round two. Then take Lamb in round one, because most likely Lamb will not be there in round two.
Now, he thinks he can grab Devontae Smith or Emeka Ebuka at wide receiver one in the third round.
I think you get Ebuka for sure. Smith is tough.
Right. I would not count on that, because we like Smith. Like, if I had the 10th pick and I thought for sure that I had at least like a 70% chance of getting Devontae Smith, it would really influence my draft strategy. But I just don't think it's going to happen.
So that's why I was saying this to Heath the other day. Like, he loves Zay Flowers. Absolutely loves Zay Flowers. We know that.
Yeah.
You hate that. He loves Zay Flowers. And so if he's picking 10th, I think there's a very strong possibility back end of round three, Zay Flowers is there.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's what I was saying. Like, for me, that guy is DJ Moore. I know the early part of round four, middle to round four, I'm going to get DJ Moore because I take him ahead of everybody. So I don't want to build my strategy around that, but I don't love DJ Moore the way he loves Zay Flowers. And so, like, if I know I'm getting Zay Flowers in almost every draft that I do because I take him 5 to 7 spots ahead of his ADP, why would you not go running back?
Because you still want to take best player available, I think.
But his player, Zay Flowers, is ranked in such a spot for him that's ahead of those players in round two.
Yeah. Well, I think that if it's a two receiver league, I think you make a strong case. If it's a three receiver league, then you could be like, yeah, I'll take Zay Flowers in round three, but I'll just take a wide receiver in round one as well. But sure. Yeah, you make a good point. This is from I'm not sure the name here. I'm in a 10-team PPR league. I have pick 101. I plan to take Gibbs. My problem at the 2-3 turn, so that's picks 20 and 21. The wide receivers are usually Nico, AJ Brown, Olave, London sometimes. The running backs are usually Hampton, Chase Brown, Walker, Barkley. Am I crazy to take two of the available running backs at the turn and start three running backs in a 10-team PPR league?
So he says Walker, and who else are there?
At 20, he's thinking Hampton, Chase Brown, Walker, Barkley.
Yeah, I probably, in a 10-team league, if I'm going Gibbs, I might go running back receiver there. And I know they're great running backs, and you're, you know, passing up another great one, but like you just listed a hell of a group of wide receivers.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just the nature of it. I love the idea, of going hero RB first or second overall, because you get Gibbs, Olave, Devontae Smith, Gibbs. This is a 12-team league. Gibbs.
Yeah, 12. Big difference here. I wouldn't do it in a 10-team league.
Gibbs, Pickens, Neighbors, like you, Bijan, whatever the case. Like, there's just two awesome wide receivers. And then you come back in round three, you could still get another good wide receiver. You can still, you know, end of round three. End of round four. And then those other running backs are still in play. You know, Judkins, Scadaboo, maybe still Swift. Like, it's a great start.
Yeah. And also, don't forget about Brock Bowers here.
Bowers and McBride, for sure.
Yeah. And by the way, so I said I wouldn't do it in a 10-team league, the hero RB. Actually, that's not true. It just would depend on if the top 12 running backs were off the board. As soon as the top 12 running backs are off the board, if you have a running back, if you have one running back, then you start thinking about the hero RB strategy. All right, last one is from Tim in Denver. He can pick his draft spot in a half PPR league anywhere from 4 to 12. He thinks the top 12 running backs, they're typically gone after the 18th pick. So he's tempted to choose pick 7 so he can get two of them, or at least have the option to do it. What pick, if you could pick anywhere from 4 to 12, where would you pick?
If I want to go running back, running back?
It doesn't matter.
If I want to go running back, running back, it would probably be no earlier. I would probably look 8, 9, 10, because yeah, I think you're getting two running backs there that are still very good. Like, you get Jonathan Taylor still in that range. If you like McCaffrey, he'll be in that range. You want to guarantee yourself Chase Brown or Jenty, they're in that range, or Achan, they're in that range. And then you get that second part of round two where it's Walker, Hampton, Barkley, Henry, like, love that. By the way, AJ Brown apparently having another monster camp practice day.
Yeah, I'm so excited about it. Yeah. All right, that's it.
I don't know, like, you were driving the bus, but you're pretty ahead of that, how good AJ Brown could be.
Well, we don't really know what's going to happen here, but it just makes sense, right? Oh, we did a tennis poll. Who's going to win the match? 53% Dan, 47% Adam.
Hey, there you go.
I'm just going to tell you, I really don't think I'm going to win. I'm not as good as him. It sucks. It's like, I really want to beat him. And I also want to tell everybody, and I'll tell you again tomorrow after the match, like, Dan's not really this big of a pompous jerk. He was doing it to be a heel, to kind of drum up interest in it and make people hate him. And I told him not to do it, and he did it anyway. And you know, he's actually a very gracious, tennis player, but I don't think I'm going to win. And it bothers me because I really want to win. I'm going to give it everything I have. I'm going to go down swinging. I'm going to hit hard. I'm going to go for it, but I'm just not as good as him. So I appreciate everyone's support. I know most of you are rooting for me. So
the thing I did for yesterday was I said, are you on Team Adam or Team Dan? And I said, like, if you are on Team Adam, retweet, or on Team Dan. Nobody retweets. So I made sure, like, you were going to win that. Dan is at joint practice. Dan and Dave are at joint practice for the Dolphins and Giants. Would you like to hear Dan's post 3 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Okay. You might not love it, but sounds like he's okay. Andrew Thomas came off the field briefly, but is swinging back, in team drills with first team. Maybe a cramped foot thing. Looks fine. Practice is getting really chilly now. I'm guessing he says means chippy.
Yeah.
Practice is getting really chilly now. I don't think it's chilly in South Florida, to be honest with you. Practice is getting really chilly now. 31 for Miami just had a borderline dirty hit on Tracy. Angle route, check down. And JMS got caught up in his face immediately.
Okay. I mean, dude, spell check, bro. Like, just take a second and read it.
I'm gonna comment to this and say, we read this on air, word for word. Check your spelling next time.
You slob.
Quote, you slob. Adam.
All right, everybody. I'm going to kick his ass today. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Podcasts.